Gentlemen, it's grand to have you here in Iowa. It isn't very often that we have the privilege of having guests from such widely scattered agricultural sections here with us, and I know our listeners will enjoy the comments from these various representatives as you are. Before we ask you about your own farm undertakings, though, may we have your impressions of our own Corn Belt region? Schrock, you've come the farthest. I don't think you rode horseback, but I would like to know, how far did you come from out there in Washington State?
No, I didn't come horseback. I came out by air, and you sort of lose track of the miles when you're traveling by air. I think it's approximately 2,500 miles, but it's not far enough at what we hear WHO back west.
Well, I'm awfully glad to hear you say that, and we hope you'll be tuned in on our farm programs occasionally.
Well, we will.
How do our Iowa fields and farmsteads appeal to a West Coast cattleman?
Well, out west, we have rather a big country out there, and we sort of think in terms of sections rather than acres. But I'm kind of afraid if I got out in one of these tall cornfields here in Iowa, I might get lost.
Well, possibly so. They're getting taller every day. How about you, Mr. Grant? There must be considerable contrast between our corn and livestock program and your tobacco section back there in Connecticut.
Well, compared to the tobacco section, there is quite a difference. But I was surprised to notice the rolling fields here in the southern part of the state compare quite favorably with our northern tier of states, such as Vermont and New Hampshire.
Mr. Griffin, being from Arkansas, you know what they say about southern hospitality. What do you think about Iowa's hospitality by this time?
Judging from what I've seen from the last few days, a short time that I've been here, I find no difference in the hospitality here and that back home, and it really makes me feel like I was still in Arkansas in that light.
We're glad we've been able to make you feel at home. Tell us, Griffin, how does Iowa's type of farming compare with yours in Arkansas?
I see better corn fields. You raise more corn and better corn than we do. But, of course, and better soybeans. But, of course, our alfalfa is possibly some better than yours. And, naturally, we have cotton fields that you don't have. And, of course, we raise peanuts and a few other things you people don't carry on with so much.
Well, we won't argue with you about the cotton and the peanuts, but we've got a few farmers here in Iowa who'll be from Missouri on that Arkansas alfalfa question of yours. Mr. Schrock, how's it going in the beef business? Do you think the Western cattlemen will sell rather aggressively this fall?
Well, I rather believe they will, Herb, because we're rather heavily stocked up out west. We have an unusually good grass year. And with good prices, I believe the Western stockmen will take advantage of that fact.
What about demand? They tell us here that defense activity down the coast is stepping up demand for both beef and for pork.
That's certainly the case. On the coast from Los Angeles to Seattle, the highways are practically plugged. And in the shipyards, there's a tremendous activity along with the airports inland.
Incidentally, have you been in Iowa before?
Why, yes. I've never lived in Iowa, but I know a great deal about Iowa. I had to come back here to get an Iowa State girl to bake my biscuits, and I've been hearing a lot about Iowa ever since.
Fine, and we want to commend you on your excellent judgment, and I know you've never had occasion to regret that.
I'll say not.
What about the Grand Coulee Dam? We hear a lot about that, and we're wondering, are you anywhere near it?
Why, yes. The Grand Coulee Dam holds a great deal of personal significance to me. One side of this huge structure rests right in Okanagan County in the state of Washington from where I come. And when the reservoir is filled, the reservoir that holds the water for irrigation, which will irrigate 1,200,000 acres, well, down at the bottom of this lake, that'll be my birthplace. And if I want to show somebody where I was born, I'll have to row out in a boat and point down, say, right down there is where I was born.
You'll even have to put on a diving suit to really prove your point.
I'm afraid so.
Just a word about the dam. How big is it, and what's it intended to do for agriculture in your section?
Well, it's a dual-purpose dam. In the first place, it will generate an enormous amount of electricity. And again, it will place this tremendous acreage under irrigation. It's going to pump the water out of the Columbia River into this reservoir that I'd mentioned before. And it will bring thousands of new farms out west.
You aren't going into competition with our corn growers, are you?
Well, no. I can't say that we will. I think you've got plenty of corn back here to feed all the cattle that we can produce out west. And in regard to this dam, the area that will be placed under production, I believe that area will be approximately the size of the state of Connecticut, Mr. Grant.
Well, that's interesting. I'm wondering a little about the concrete that goes into the dam. That must be quite a volume of cement.
Well, it certainly is. As an illustration, Herb, you could build a standard sidewalk around the equator 2 3/4 times. Or another illustration, you could build a standard highway from the Grand Coulee Dam in the state of Washington to New York, and then back to Los Angeles, and then up to Seattle, and then back to the Grand Coulee Dam.
Well, that sounds like a lot of cement, and I'm thinking it would also take care of a lot of cattle yards if we wanted to concrete them, wouldn't it?
It sure would.
Well, thanks, Mr. Schrock. Let's get down to Arkansas for a moment. Mr. Griffin, you're raising cotton. What about the cotton situation? Is the outlook good for this year?
The plant is well ahead of time, possibly a week or 10 days ahead of time. And as for the financial outlook, which ultimately, after all, is the goal, we find that the prices have risen after the government program has gotten into effect, and it looks like we're going to get more money than we've been getting for our cotton.
Well, we know that the cotton producers deserve a break, and we hope they get it. How about corn, though? Do they grow it in Arkansas about the same as we do here?
No, you have us beat both for yield and for acreage, but we do raise enough corn to do us. Possibly in some places of parts of Arkansas, they don't, but in other parts, they ship out quite a bit, which will balance up.
Coming back to cotton again, is it an expensive operation?
When it's raised on a commercial basis, it is, by large plantation owners, but when it's raised by a family unit, it don't seem to be a very expensive crop.
Right in that connection, how large is a large plantation?
Well, we'll say anywhere from 3 to 10,000 acres would be considered a plantation.
How about a family size project?
It'll run anywhere from 40 acres up to around 200 acres.
Is there still much in the way of sharecropping down your way?
The sharecropper has been practically eliminated since the program came on, and he's become a hard hand on the farm.
I see. Well, that's interesting news and good news, too. What are your farmers doing about defense down your way?
Well, Arkansas is fully aware of the danger facing our nation. And, of course, us as true Americans are ready to defend it with anything that is necessary, and our boys are nobly volunteering.
Well, do you think people in the South are a little more inclined toward American participation in the war than we are up here?
Well, owing to the fact that possibly Arkansas has a greater number, or greater percentage of the original American stock, it seems to me like that we're just a little more patriotic down there. We don't have so many isms as they have on some of the coasts.
Well, I don't blame you for defending Arkansas, but we'll have to speak up for the rest of our section and say that they're all Americans up here, too. And by the way, about corn down there and hogs, are you raising more of them than you used to?
The large hog producer seems to be raising more hogs, and the small producer doesn't seem to be raising so much, so it holds just about even there.
I see. Mr. Grant, let's turn to you for a moment. You look just a bit worried at the second. What's it about?
Well, it's about my 75 boys.
Your 75 boys?
That's right, Herb.
That's quite a few. You better explain that.
Well, you see, back home, it's our harvesting season in the tobacco section, and we depend upon boys and girls to a great extent. I was just wondering if the weather back there is as warm as it was here yesterday and today, if they're still working or have gone down the old swimming hole.
Well, if they went to the swimming hole, the tobacco harvest hasn't been going so good. Incidentally, there'll be considerable swimming going on here, probably. I'm wondering, though, with 75 boys, that sounds like an expensive operation. What does your labor payroll run back there on your Connecticut tobacco project?
Last year, our payroll was between $75,000 and
$80,000. Oh, boy! Right in that connection, we've heard a lot about labor strikes in various parts of the country. I'm happy to say that it as yet hasn't particularly affected any real farm regions, but the health question is a big one. At least it is out here, and it is in Ohio and some of the other states I was in recently. What's the score back there in the East on that question?
Well, it's becoming more acute every day and harder to get farm labor, as many of our boys are going off into the airplane factories at pretty higher levels than we can afford to pay.
Seems as though the story's much the same all over. Will you fellows back east usually feel the beat of the nation's pulse a bit faster than some of us do? How do people in the east feel right now about what appears to be ahead of us?
Well, personally, I think with the large income that they receive in their airplane factories, they're more intent on their personal income than they are on the general condition.
Well, what about tobacco, for instance? Does it look like a good year?
Well, I imagine our farmers will receive about a comparable price for their crops this year.
You have a dairy herd, too, I believe. How do you market your milk, and what about prices?
Our milk is all marketed through a co-op called the Connecticut Milk Producers Association, and I'm happy to say we've been able to maintain some of the highest prices in our country.
Good. Have you been in Iowa before, Mr. Grant?
I'm sorry to say I haven't, Herb.
Well, we hope you will be back, though, very shortly.
Thank you.
Well, now, that's been interesting. I wonder, in the few moments we have left, if we could use a few general questions. One that I'm thinking of right now, is there a general feeling that a tremendous readjustment is to be expected after the storm in Europe blows over? I don't care which of you answers this question, but I'll put it to you as a group.
Yes, I believe that there will be a great adjustment. And, in fact, I remember after the other war, when our boys came back from the front, it seems like that there was no place for them for their work or employment in many instances, and it did work a hardship on them, since we had adjusted ourselves in a way to do without them while they were gone. Now, the thing we need to do, as I see it, is to go ahead and arrange a place for them and look out for their coming, because they're sure coming back. They'll take the Hun to a cleaning in no time.
I see. Well, we appreciate your optimism. Mr. Grant, I want to ask you this question about over-mechanization. It bothers some of us sometimes. I wonder if there is such a danger.
I'm afraid there is. I'm afraid that farmers are purchasing more and more farm equipment that they can pay for.
Well, of course, the farm help situation has something to do with that increased equipment purchase. What about livestock? Schrock, you being the cowboy here, are we likely to overdo in the livestock section?
Well, we are to a certain extent, Herb. And also out in the wheat belt out west, you can put two men on a big combine and harvest the entire wheat crop out there. And naturally, that's not going to make much of a place for these boys when they come back from this fracas.
That's right.
In the livestock industry out there, it is going to make quite a difference, I believe.
Well, that's interesting to get that view. Mr. Grant, you fellows have been here as Production Credit Association representatives, and I think we ought to have a word on that score. But just what is a Production Credit Association?
A Production Credit Association is an association made up of farmer members that have combined their assets to secure sound and dependable credit.
I understand there are better than 500 such associations. Is that correct?
I think there's 525 throughout the state.
We have 17 in Iowa, I believe. Incidentally, Grant, do they lend government money?
No, we do not depend upon government money in any instance. It all comes from the investing public at their own free will.
I see. What about reserves? And also, what about the management and control of PCA? Schrock, how about you answering that?
Well, with reference to reserves in the entire production credit system in the country, the reserves are greater than the capital stock. And with reference to the control of production credit associations, it is entirely controlled by farmer members that are elected as directors of the local associations.
Then we can be resting assured that it's being well handled. One final question. How were you fellows impressed by the meeting at Newton? How did you hit it off with Mr. Paulson, to whom the $2 billionth was loaned? And what about the other members you met here in the tall corn state?
Well, I might say that I enjoyed going out and visiting on the farm that Mr. Paulson has here in Iowa. He has a very ideal farm, and I might say he had some wonderful western cattle right there in his feedlot.
Well, I can't blame you for mentioning that. Grant, do you have a word?
The same goes for me, too, Herb.
And how about you, Mr. Arkansas?
Same over here.
Well, thank you, gentlemen. It's been a real treat to have you three men here from way out west in the state of Washington, from back east in Connecticut, and from down south in Arkansas. We hope you'll be guests with us again, and a happy journey back home.